All right, so I'm joined here on the line by Andre Fortin, Pontiac's representative in the National Assembly, to talk a little bit about what's going on in Quebec City these days. Andre, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you, Caleb?
Oh, not so bad. Not so bad. So, a lot of media reports here in the last week or so about Bill 15, which is the province's overhaul of healthcare. So, could you talk a little bit about, for our listeners who might not be as familiar about what's going on there in the National Assembly, what exactly is Bill 15 and what is its stated aim, I guess you could say?
So Bill 15 is a pretty wide sweeping bill in that it has 1,200 articles, so 1,200 different ideas basically in the bill. And so we've been in the process for the last eight months since March or so of going through the bill clause by clause, of having consultations about it, and the government's been intent on finishing this bill before the holiday season, so in the next week or so. So the basic principle of Bill 15 is to create one central healthcare agency. So right now there's all of the regional healthcare units, there's all of the specialized hospitals like St. Justin in Montreal, the Cardiology Institute, and so on and so forth. And so those entities, the regional entities and those specialized hospitals would no longer legally exist. It would all be centralized under one agency called Santé Québec. And so it's a step towards centralization of delivery of healthcare. The way the minister himself explains it is this way. So he says, I see a problem in the healthcare network. I get experts together. We find solutions, but then they're not always implemented the same way across the board. I want to have a better control of a standardized approach across the healthcare network. So that's the basic principle of the bill is that, but then it touches upon so many other issues, whether it's moving healthcare workers from one region to another, whether it's English-speaking Quebecers' rights of access to the healthcare network, whether it's what we require of our specialist doctors, the number of people on users committees, it touches upon just about everything to do with healthcare.
So just basically, in basic terms, gives the ministry a little more hands-on control over individual actions and policy changes within the healthcare field, I guess you'd say?
So to us, it seems like a very, almost like a business-like approach in that there would be a board of directors to Santé Québec, just like there's one at Hydro-Québec, for example.
Okay.
And they really would have the handle on the day-to-day operation of the healthcare network, and the ministry, which would be reduced in size because they would send a lot of their people over to this new agency, they would be more in charge of the ministerial orientations, like the policy vision of healthcare. But the day-to-day administration of the healthcare network would fall to this new agency.
Interesting. And a lot of the hay got made last week specifically over an amendment that came in at the last minute there, I believe, regarding their ability to take away the English language status of an institution there. So could you talk a little bit about that and the minister's response to it as well?
So I sit on this committee, and so I've been there with Christian Dubé, the health minister, over the last number of months, just looking at this clause by clause. And he introduced a new clause last week that was not in his original bill. As he's been doing regularly throughout the process, he's been coming out with new ideas, with changes, with things that they didn't necessarily foresee initially. And last week, he decided to introduce a clause to say, okay, well, there's a number of bilingual institutions across the province, meaning like the Shawville Hospital, where people have a right to be served in English. And the amendment that he suggested was that there would be a process by which that bilingual status of certain hospitals would be removed. So if a population dropped under 50% of English-speaking Quebecers, for example, Wakefield is in that situation, used to be 50%, no longer, then the government could, or Santé Québec, this new agency, could unilaterally remove the bilingual status of hospitals, therefore putting at risk a whole lot of people's access to services in their language. So we debated this. I raised it with him when he brought it forward. He basically, at that point, had a hard time defending it, so we suspended the amendment. He's supposed to come back to us this week with what he wants to do with it, but there's a real risk here. There's a real threat to removing an access that should be universal to anyone really to have access to healthcare in their language.
And can we talk a little bit about the scope of this as far as bilingual institutions are concerned? How many are there across the province, and what does that mean for Pontiac as well? Because I know I don't think the status of the Shawville Hospital will be going away anytime soon, but what about the rest of the region?
So there's 29 bilingual institutions across the province. Like I said, actually the Outaouais is a great example of it, because Shawville and the Pontiac in general is still, I believe, over 50% population, which is English speaking. So that's not at a real threat at this point. But the Wakefield Hospital is very much under threat, because they are under 50% population served in English. But those people, whether they're 25%, 40%, or 60%, they still, individually, they still need access to healthcare in their language. They still need to understand what their doctor prescribes to them. They still need to understand what's going on with their body. And so to have somebody think that they can unilaterally come in for a variety of reasons, because they can't find people to work in English, because they may have a hard time living up to the obligations of serving people in English, or because the government simply doesn't view this as something that's desirable in Quebec, and we've seen that before, to us it seems completely counterproductive. So there is maybe not in the Pontiac at this point, but across Quebec there would be a real risk. There's a bilingual status hospital in Quebec City, because there are Anglophones in Eastern Quebec who deserve just as much as you and I and anybody else to get care in their language.
Jeez. From the response I've seen from the minister, just based on the pushback that he's gotten on this amendment specifically there, I believe his statement was that he's aiming for the status quo. Do you take him at his word? And I guess, what are you expecting here in this last week before you expect them to try and finish up on this bill?
So here's the thing. He introduced a clause in Bill 15. In the original bill, there was a clause that basically said, we're grandfathering all the institutions that have bilingual status. But when he introduced this amendment, he basically said, yeah, I'm grandfathering it for today, but any government down the road, whether it's a CAC government, a PQ government, or anybody else, could come in and say, I'm removing it. So when he says, I'm now open to looking at what the impact is and maybe removing it, maybe tweaking it, it's still up in the air very much for us. And honestly, it's something that just didn't really need to happen.
And how far are you guys through going through the amendments there? You said there was like something like 1,200 or over 1,000.
Yeah.
Where are you at here?
So there was 1,200 articles in the original bill. And the minister has been introducing himself a slew of amendments basically every week. I think we've adopted at this point probably 500 or 600 of the original articles and probably 300 or 400 amendments that he's brought forward. So additional articles. The minister seems very, and the CAC government seems very intent on finishing this before Christmas. He said it repeatedly. He wants to have the time to put Santé Quebec together, and he wants that to be in place by June next year. But to us, we can't really rush through these things. There's so many things that are up in the air, whether it's this question of English services, whether it's the question of community groups whose financing or independence could be threatened by Bill 15. Whether it's a question of social services, which are really not considered in the bill, just the name of the thing, right? We're going from the Santé Intégrée, the Santé Services Sociaux, to Santé Québec. So the social services has completely gone by the wayside. So there's still a lot of issues that are up in the air. And that's why last week there was 200 groups that came out and said, we need to finish this study clause by clause by clause. We can't use closure, which is seemingly what the minister intends to do this week.
And just to clarify that, it's sort of a procedural way of ending debate on a bill and just going forward with a straightforward vote.
Yeah, and if we end debate on it, the bill sits as it is, which means that Anglophone rights would be threatened, which means that those community groups may not get the financing they have, which means all sorts of things. It means we can't finish the proper debate and come to a decision and a vote on this. It just means that those issues simply aren't debated the way they should be. And it's used once in a while, but on a bill like this that still at this point has so many controversial parts and so many groups speaking up, it seems like we're, and it's a little weird to say it after so many months of study, but it does seem like we're rushing through things.
And I guess just on that note, you'd mentioned some other aspects of the bill that you said might be potentially problematic as well. Could you talk a little bit about, is there any other amendments or parts of this bill that you think are going sort of under the radar here?
There's a whole section on how Santé Québec is administered. And one of the big worries that we had initially when the bill was brought forward is that the Santé Québec board itself was comprised of nobody to do with the healthcare world. It's very much, and as I said, almost like a large corporate view of, okay, you need an HR professional, you need an IT professional, you need a finance professional, you need somebody with a governance and ethics background, but they didn't think to put any healthcare professional. So that's something that we had to fight for. We ended up with somebody from healthcare, somebody from social services, but it's, again, it seems like you can't treat healthcare just like anything else. Healthcare is not like other parts of the government. It's not like running a business. It really needs people who understand the depth of the issues and what it means to patients. So that's something that was worrisome. The other one was even on the regional boards that will exist under the big Santé Québec structure, they're really losing any decision-making authority. So the CIS de l'Outaouais, the people on their board are the ones who make the decisions on a number of things to do with the healthcare network. They lose all their decision-making ability. So it seems like it's one step too far in terms of centralization, and the regions in general, their voice will definitely be even more muted than they are today.
Andre, we've talked a lot about healthcare here, but there's a lot of issues going on here at the provincial level of politics. The biggest one, I think, being the Front Commun strike that's sort of ongoing. They've announced they'll be having another 7 days of strike days coming up here. Could you, give your take on how the negotiations and just how the public sector workers have been treated so far?
Yeah, my take's not different from that of a lot of parents. I mean, my kids have been home for almost 2.5 weeks now. Because we're in Elmer, and in Elmer the strike has been ongoing and not just periodical here. So I think it's got a lot of people frustrated, and rightly so. But again, the government's really the one holding the ball here. They can absolutely make propositions, whether it's in terms of salary or whether it's in terms of working conditions, that will drive more people to be interested in whether it's education or healthcare. The one concerning stat, which tells me that we need to put a lot more emphasis on how we treat teachers. So the one interesting stat that I've seen, and very telling stat, is that 25% of them leave in the first year, and 50% of them leave within the first 5 years of becoming a teacher. So it means that there's people with good intentions who study for this, who want to become educators, and then once they get there, they realize the conditions just aren't there. So government really needs to step up its game here, and at the very least on the salary front, offer them inflation, but also make sure that we've got short-term and long-term the proper aid and the proper surroundings and the proper other specialized healthcare professionals that we need in our schools.
And just wrapping up here, Andre, is there anything else on the provincial affairs or politics that's on your radar here that you think people in the Pontiac should know about?
No, those really are the two big things, to be honest with you. Those are the two things that are really taking up most of the legislative process right now. When you've got the biggest strike in 40 years in Quebec, and we've got here teachers, just about every category of healthcare workers, which are going on strike, every type of professional in our schools, we've got government workers that are also on strike. There really is, and there shouldn't be either, too much else that is being prioritized by the Assembly. It's really a matter of government sitting down on a very intense basis with the unions and trying to figure this out. And that's kind of been the problem, is they haven't been doing that. They've been sporadically talking to each other. But we need a premier here who says, okay, well, enough is enough, and I will take the necessary measures to make sure that this gets solved. And to date, we haven't quite seen that.
Andre, thank you for your time. These are two very interesting files, and we'll be talking a little more if there's any movement on them. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day, Caleb.